Morning. I guess one of the foremost reasons why this is very intimidating is because we have pastors like Jason and Edwin preaching every week, much older than me in the faith, and they really know their stuff, and it's I've been praying that I would be accurate in declaring God's word to you this morning. Well, I think you would all agree that there's many times in the life of the believer where he or she begins to question or struggle with believing that living according to God's word is really the best or the wisest way to go about doing things. I think obedience, when everything's going well, it's very easy. But when hard times come, many Christians feel that they need to start taking things into their own hands, correct? When things aren't going their way, instead of being determined to obey the commandments of God or to wait on him to answer our prayers, we start taking advice from people who don't know the Lord, correct? Or we start doing things the way that the world does them. Or start going with our own gut on issues. And there's even times when following God's word seems to be a hindrance, or it seems to be an obstacle in achieving some goal in life or in our career or having something that we think that we want or need to have. Maybe like we're approached with situations where telling a white lie or taking something that doesn't necessarily belong to us will get us to that next level. And we don't do them, and we stay at that same level, and we look at the wicked and even begin to envy them at times. Correct? That's how the psalmist of Psalm 73 felt. That's not our text for this morning, so if you want, just listen to what that psalmist Asaph had to say. He said, "I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He said, "They are not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, and they increase in riches." I believe many times it boils down to looking for happiness in the wrong place, seeking happiness in things things that you think you need, which is idolatry, the Bible says. So whether you can identify with that psalmist or not, I pray that the message this morning from Psalm chapter 1, y'all can look in your Bibles and find it. I hope that the message will encourage you to find your happiness in the Lord, and specifically in loving and following his word and his commandments. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. It's in the middle of the Bible almost. The Psalms were the hymn book of Israel, if you don't know much about them. They are songs or praises from Israel and now for the church. And this is the first song in the collection, and it's a fitting introduction to the entire book. We'll start the reading at verse 1. God's word says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Before we go any further, I invite you to pray with me before we get into the rest of the sermon. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to explain and proclaim your word to your people, and even to those who may not know you, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for giving me this grace, Lord, because it is not because I was a good person or a decent person that I stand as a servant of yours, Lord, but you saved me from my sins, cleansed me, and qualified me to be a servant of yours, Father. And God, I thank you that you have done that for all of your people here who call upon the name of Christ and trust in his love, Lord. I pray that as this sermon goes on, you would be lifted up, and that the name of your Son will be exalted, that all here may see your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And God, I just pray that those of us who need to be corrected, who are in sin in some way, God, that we would be rebuked and exhorted and encouraged and spurred along to repentance, Father. And that we would all find our happiness in you and in the blessings that you give, in the promises in your word. And Father, help us to trust and to love and to do your law. In Christ's name, amen. So this psalm starts out with a nice word. It starts out with blessed. Blessed. There's a lot of confusion surrounding blessed. What exactly does that mean? It's like we read Psalm 1, blessed is the man who this and this. And you're like, oh, that's nice. And it's like, but you don't really know what blessed means. Well, this is a word that some have translated happy. One version says, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Another puts it, oh, the joys of those who do not take advice from the wicked. This word involves happiness, but it's not just any happiness. Okay, it's not the happiness that you get when, like Pastor Edwin says, when you're eating Haagen-Dazs ice cream or something, or when, just got a promotion at work. It's not something fleeting like that, but it comes from enjoying the grace and the blessings of God. And to help you understand this concept more, if you would like, you can turn to it, or if not, just listen. Psalm 32, we find another instance of this word being used, blessed. This psalmist says, David actually says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, or happy. Happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Happy is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. And then he says in verse 3 that when he kept silent, he says, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. He's talking about when he didn't confess his sins. When he didn't confess his sins, he was miserable. But in verse 5, he says, I acknowledged my sin to you. And I did not cover my iniquity. I said, well, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, happy is the man. Because he's enjoying the forgiveness and that peace with God. Psalm 41:1 says, blessed or happy is the one who considers the poor. Why? Because in the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. You see, he's happy enjoying the divine grace and blessings that come from the Lord. Psalm 65:4 says, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. Why? We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house and the holiness of your temple. So who is this happy man that Psalm 1 talks about? This one that is enjoying God's blessings. Who is this person? It's not just a man, it's man or woman, but using man as in the generic sense. This person, first and foremost, and you won't find it explicitly said like this in your text, but first and foremost, the blessed person is the one who is in Christ. So like I said, they're not in this text, but when interpreting the Psalms or any scripture for that matter, we must interpret scripture in light of scripture. Correct? We as Christians know that God is the author of his word. He never contradicts himself. And what is true when you're reading Romans is, and what's true when you're reading Ephesians is true when you're reading the Psalms as well. So therefore, the blessed one is the one who has been adopted as a child of God. He is one that has repented of his sins and placed his trust in Christ, the Savior, in his death on the cross to save him. The blessed man is a Christian, first and foremost, and he's a believer. He's one who has been born again, transformed by the Spirit of God, by his grace, by his unmerited kindness and love towards sinners. And that one was an easy one. The next one, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So in other words, the Christian, the happy Christian person is one who doesn't take advice from unbelievers and doesn't do the sinful things that they do or get comfortable in joining in with them in the things that they do. Of course, we have to explain this in a practical sense. How does this look practically in real life? Is it saying that I have to have a Christian doctor because if my knee hurts, I can't take advice from that guy because he's not a believer? No, common sense will tell you that that's not what the psalm is talking about. It's more like if you're a believer and you're having marriage problems, don't go and take advice from the alcoholic guy at the barbershop. Or don't go to your atheist coworker who's been divorced twice and start spilling your guts and all your dirty laundry about your marriage. Because what are they going to tell you? Divorce. Leave them. Leave him or her. I know somebody that's perfect for you. It's exactly that what they'll say. The blessed person doesn't stand in the way of sinners. What does that mean? We don't do the things that sinners do if you want to be a happy Christian. The happy and blessed single Christian, for example, doesn't get desperate looking for somebody and start speed dating in the restaurants and going to bars and seeking a partner among the wicked. The blessed and happy person doesn't lie about his past work experience or salary to get a better job position or a better pay increase. Christian, don't look for your happiness in the places the world does or the way the world does. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, if you seek happiness and live for it, you'll never get it. And we'll see more of how you do get happiness as we go along in our text. Verse 2 says that happy is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. The happy man is the one who finds pleasure in God's law. Okay? What is the law of the Lord? What exactly does that mean? Well, the Hebrew word for law here is Torah. Okay? It means instruction. The term is often referred to the first five books of the Bible, the Law of Moses. Paul uses it at times to refer to all of the Old Testament as a whole. But for Christians today, the instruction of the Lord, it extends beyond that, correct? It extends and applies to the books of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, the Gospels, the epistles, from Genesis to Revelation is the instruction of the Lord. So happy is the man who loves God's word, who takes pleasure in obeying the commandments of God. Even Jesus repeated this in the New Testament. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." James wrote in his epistle, "The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts," meaning somebody who obeys God's law, doesn't just listen to it at church every Sunday, but actually does it, "he will be blessed in his doing." He will be happy in his doing. happy in obedience. That's kind of backwards, right? But God does everything backwards, it seems like, the more and more I read the scriptures. The author of Psalm 119 wrote, he wrote, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." And the first verse of that chapter says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless and who walk in the law of the Lord." And not only does the happy man delight in following the commandments of God, but he delights in the gospel and the blessings that flow from the gospel, correct? We see this in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1. It's like the longest sentence I've ever seen. 13 verses of Paul just praising God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he praises him for the adoption, God choosing him, redeeming him in Christ Jesus, giving him forgiveness through the blood of his Son, giving him the Spirit as a guarantee. So we, if the happy Christian delights and is happy in obeying God's commandments and in also being comforted and also being exhorted in all the aspects of God's word that you can think of, the happy man delights in those things. He delights in the character of God as revealed in Scripture. And we can go on and on. And the second part of that verse says that he doesn't only delight in it, he meditates on it day and night. According to one source I saw, he says that this word meditate means to recall all that God has said and done. It includes audible recitation as well. It's the same word found in Psalm 143:5, where the psalmist says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. I ponder on the work of your hand." So for the Christian, meditation is not taking all thought out of your mind. It's not a thoughtless thing where you're just sitting there and thinking about nothing. It's remembering, pondering, musing on the words of God as revealed in the Scriptures. Doesn't this present a challenge to us today as Christians? Because how can you meditate? How can you remember God's word if you don't read it? If you don't listen to it? If you don't intake it in some way? Another psalm says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." Do you have the word in your heart? Are you storing up the word in your heart to be able to battle sin in your life? And in the next verse, we go verse by verse through this text. We're going to see why this man who doesn't take advice from the wicked, who doesn't do what they do, but loves and follows and recalls God's word, is happy. Why is he happy? What blessing has God given him to cause him to be so happy? It says he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is what the happy man's life is like. This is one who delights in God's word. And this is what his life looks like. He's like a tree. According to John MacArthur, the land of Israel, it doesn't get a lot of rain. It's a very arid land. So naturally, this well-watered tree bearing fruit planted by streams of water, it's a fitting symbol of prosperity and of blessing in the scriptures. So imagine all that dry vegetation or desert land, and then all of a sudden you see this gorgeous tree. And it's giving off, I don't know, your favorite thing, mangoes or something. I don't like mangoes, but a lot of people do. I'm burned out on mangoes. Somebody gave me 1,000,000 mangoes the other day. So, where was I after the mango thing? Just as this tree finds its nourishment and its prosperous growth by the streams of water that it's planted by, so the Christian finds its nourishment and prosperous growth in sanctification, as we've learned in Sunday school this morning, from the Word of God. That's our nourishment. That's what we feed off of. That's where the happy man grows. And that's what he grows by. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be like the tree planted like streams of water, read God's Word. If you want to live a life worthy of God, then learn how. In his Word. That's what Paul prayed in Colossians 1:9. He said that my prayer for you, Colossians, is asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And look at this. He uses the same illustration. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you want to learn how to love others the way God wants you to love others, read his Word. You want your faith strengthened? Read his Word. You want to know how to have a healthier marriage? Don't listen to the alcoholic at the barbershop. Listen to God's Word. Every aspect of our spiritual life is strengthened by the Bible. And that's where we get our spiritual food and water from. And the Christian who is feeding off of God's Word is prosperous in his walk with the Lord. As we learned in Sunday school this morning, yes, sanctification and growth is by the Spirit of God. It is by the power of the Spirit, but it's not like we just sit there waiting. God just won't grow me. I don't know what's going on here. Maybe I'm not a Christian. It's not like that. It involves your part as well. It involves feeding off of God's Word. And look at the fruit. Look at the verse, the kind of fruit that he bears. It's fruit and it's in its season, it says. The other day when my office flooded, I had a day off. I went to Publix with Wayne Seymour. I consider him an expert on fruit. And we were walking by the strawberries because I wanted to buy some strawberries for Andrew. He loves strawberries. So I was there. I'm like, man, what's wrong with these strawberries, dude? They're all misshapen, and then they're all ugly, and they don't look as sweet as they should be, he said, because they're not in its season. That's not the kind of fruit that the blessed man gives off. He gives off good. You want to bear good fruit in your Christian life? Love the law of the Lord. Meditate on it day and night. Don't listen to the wicked. Don't do what they do. And we know this kind of fruit obviously refers to the fruit of the Spirit, not only, but as we will see, but yes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not only that kind of fruit, though. I like what John Piper had to say about this. When a tree bears fruit, who's it for? It's for others, right? Not yourself. Christians who are bearing fruit as a result of God's Word, they are of benefit to other believers. Are you able to counsel your brother when he comes to you having marriage problems? Are you able to exhort somebody who hasn't been to church in a while? Are you able to come alongside of that person who's struggling with sin and advise them on how to put to death the deeds of the flesh? Are you a fruitful tree? Are you lifeless, giving off no fruit? And if you do, it's all weirdly shaped and not sweet. This happy man who says no to the world, but loves God's Word, reading it, hearing it, doing it, he's happy because he's growing in the faith. He's happy because he's progressing in holiness. He's happy because he's looking more like Christ. And when trouble in his life comes, he's firm. When physical blessings come, he knows how to handle them. When opportunities for ministry come, he's productive. And when opportunities come for giving, he gives, according to how much you can, and sometimes even beyond. His satisfaction is in the things of God, not in the things of this world. But look at the next verse. Sharp contrast. The wicked are not so. All of those things that the blessed man is and has, the wicked is not and does not have them. You know, I do believe that in all that he does, he prospers. I do believe that that can refer to physical, temporal things, like prospering at work, because if you work hard at work, you will prosper at work most of the time. But even the wicked can do that. The wicked are not so in that they do not bear the fruit that I had spoken to you about before. They don't love God's word. They don't grow by God's word. And in fact, it says not only that they're not so, it says they're like what? Chaff that the wind drives away. You can't get any more opposite of a lush fruit-bearing tree than chaff. If you're confused about what chaff is, I don't know if some of you like corn on the cob, you know, that green outer layer that you peel off and you throw it away. That's chaff. There's nothing in it. Nothing of benefit to anybody else. You go there looking for fruit, you'll be disappointed. There's nothing there. And even John the Baptist said that the chaff Jesus will burn with unquenchable fire. And the psalmist goes on to say that therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So Christian, who at the beginning was struggling, looking at the wicked and their prosperity, envying them, you still want to be like them? Do you still want to be, in the end, not being able to stand before Christ? Or do you want to be like those who have been redeemed, the righteous, who through faith in Christ have become righteous, and not only are viewed righteous by God, but are growing in righteousness as their Christian life goes along? Are you more chaffy, or are you more like the tree? And remember that psalmist in Psalm 73? Who was envying the arrogant at first and saying, man, you know, it's wicked people, man. They're so rich. I'm here obeying God's word. Spiritually happy, I guess. But no. Look what he says. Psalm 73. Turn with me there. Psalm 73, 16. Psalm 73, verse 16. But when I thought how to understand this, the prosperity of the wicked, it seemed to me to be a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin, speaking of the wicked. How they are destroyed in a moment. Swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, look what he says. This, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. May we all be as a psalmist and find our portion and our pleasure and our happiness in God and in his word, in doing, in meditating. Happy is the man who does this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that it would stay with us throughout the week and beyond, Lord, that it would change us, that it would correct us, Lord, that we would be devoted to following your commandments, Lord, that we would find our satisfaction and our happiness in you and in your blessings, Father. In Christ's name.